you know, I recently shared a post through the Boston Advisor called Understand Your Messenger's Agenda, which is basically, hey, it's a golden age of information out there. It's kind of a golden age of misinformation out there. And if nobody has the time to absorb and process everything that they need to know to make good financial decisions, so you got to really be careful where you're getting information from. And a good starting point is to understand if your messenger has an agenda and what that agenda is, so you can filter that information. And I, you know, I shared my agenda just in terms of, you know, ultimately, I think people can do well over time investing in a diversified portfolio through an advisor to hit their long-term financial goals and make sure that their financial plan is taken care of and kept up to date along the way. I wanted to ask you, and I think this will be a fun conversation, when you're consuming investment information out there, or when you see that our clients are, who are some of the people that you find valuable, and who are some of the people that you would warn people away from, on either on TV, you know, articles, blogs, so forth and so on?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Maybe I'll answer it a little differently. When you hear someone say something, step back, listen, and look at fact versus opinion, and specifically, or can be an opinion, but is it supported by data? What you want to hear from someone is them providing you information, like mortgage applications are going down, or energy prices are below, you know, the point when Russia invaded Ukraine. And when you hear things like that, that makes sense. That supports an opinion. You know, that has merit. And even if you're not saying, you know, this person is bullish, so I'm bullish, you look at it and you learn data from them. They shared an interesting tidbit that makes sense to me. So what I'm cautioning people against is the fluff out there where it's, I get these things from clients and people like, oh, so-and-so, they said get out of stocks. Well, why? Well, here's the article. They said get out of stocks. But there's no substance. So always look for data to support a case. Now, more to directly answer your question, I do like the folks at Schwab. I think Lizzie Ann Saunders is great. Jeffrey Klein's up. When you look at a piece they put out, it's full of charts of information, tables. They'll look at valuations and measure market valuations 10 different ways. You talk about like the yield curve. Jeffrey Kleintop says it's not, is it inverted or not? It's how many points is it inverted? You know, so there's a lot of, information. They look at sentiment. So some charts on sentiment where they work with Ned Davis research. So I like people who provide a lot of information supporting their view. Another one is the Luthold Group, smaller shop out of Minnesota, but they're like market technicians, just pour through historical data to support views. So that's more just how I look at it, is less talk and more, you know, give me numbers, teach me something about markets. It's not just opinion.
And it sounds like you process that information piece by piece. If there's data that helps you, it's great. You're not necessarily absorbing the whole message or story. You're trying to filter through and learn because they're gathering information that they've basically curated and provided to you.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where it's form your own opinion. You look at it and you do have to be aware of the messenger. Like, is this data that you've never heard of before and they're just making it up to tell a point, or is this really meaningful? And I go back to that energy example. I feel like that's a pretty straightforward one, the price of crude oil's down. So looking at things like that make sense, inform your own opinion, but listen to people to become more informed on facts, not more informed on consensus opinion.
And are there people, maybe you're too nice to answer this, but are there people who you just dismiss? And maybe not dismiss entirely, because again, they're sharing data, but you just worry that they take their conclusions too far?
You gave me an out by being too nice to answer that. I don't want to be telling who to not listen to. I think if you just listen to...
Well, I'll share one, because we all have a tremendous amount of respect for the GMO team and Jeremy Grantham, who's, you know, really prominent. And I just read a long piece of his yesterday about a super bubble that we're in. And they make a lot of good points. I think they tend to extrapolate things to, you know, bearish extremes that we don't see pan out. I've heard you say before, you know, directionally they're right, but you know, they're just way too pessimistic with the directional points that they're making. So very informative. I hesitate to push people in that direction because it all seems like the world's about to end with those guys.
Yeah. So an example of how I interpret their research at times is, they may say stocks are going to go down 50% because valuations are X and they should be Y. Well, what's Y? And Y might be the average multiple since 1928. So, okay, I get that. Now you think, well, should we be at average since 1928? The world has changed a little bit. There is more history of the U.S. stock market. There's more regulation in the stock market. Companies are bigger, more profitable, more technology. Markets are deeper. Is it fair to say that the stock market in the year 2022 does have a little less risk than the stock market in the year 1930? If the answer is yes, then maybe we don't need to go down to 50%, down by 50%, making up numbers. So that's where, yeah, they're pointing to some things might be expensive, but also do we need to go back to average is just one way to look at that.
I agree with you on the people that you shared that you enjoy reading, and I do as well. Another one is for me, Howard Marks. He writes very thoughtful investment-related memos. They're long, but they do have a podcast version of them now if you don't want to read through the whole thing. And on the flip side, there's people like Peter Schiff or, John Hussman, and they're seeing a catastrophe around every corner. And I just don't think that there's much of value with those folks. And there's also people who made one good call. And then after that, everybody wants to kind of hop on board their subsequent calls. And, I know Meredith Whitney made a great call back during the great financial crisis about banks. And then she kept making other calls and, muni bonds and things that just didn't pan out. And so you also, I think, have to be careful, anointing gurus, because that's not really what you're looking for. You're not looking for feast or famine major moves.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd add to the names, Ed Yardeni Research. He puts out a ton of good charts, and they're updated just about daily. You can Google him, Yardeni Research. And Richard Bernstein, Richard Bernstein Advisors, he's pretty good too. He's a little more active and will have views, but I do like the research he puts out. One other thing on this topic, CNBC used to have a little thing where they'd interview one person and they'd pick a stock like Google, and they'd have someone who's bullish and bearish, and the bullish person makes their case, the bearish person makes their case, and they'd wrap it up. And that's what makes a market, because everything's at equilibrium. For every buyer, there's a seller. So there's always someone on the other side. So that's where it's just be careful. Don't listen to too much of this nonsense and separate fact from opinion.
Got it. Great advice.